Hi, folks. Steve Urban here, host of the Riderflex podcast and founder and CEO of our day job, recruiting firm Riderflex. We hope you enjoy this episode. And as a reminder, please subscribe to the podcast for updates and news. Finally, if you haven't already, check out the series of books we've published on hiring, interviewing, and overall career advice titled The Riderflex Guide, available on Amazon. And now, a quick word from our sponsor.
Most homeowners don't have the time or expertise to properly take care of their home, which causes costly issues to arise. That's where Kura Home Maintenance comes in. We're a full-service, routine maintenance company that was developed by a certified home inspector. Each quarter, we service our clients' homes following manufacturers' recommendations to properly maintain all the necessary appliances. We provide the materials and expertise to prolong the life of your property, creating a healthy and efficient environment for your family. From top to bottom, we'll maintain and service your home. To get started, we have a property inspection to determine what needs to be maintained, and a maintenance plan is created based on your preferences. From refrigerator coils to filters, vents, and drains, we do it all, and we do it well. Contact us today for your free routine maintenance inspection. And never worry about your maintenance again.
Sonia Price on the Riderflex podcast. Hello, Sonia. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing really good, Steve. Thanks so much for having me here.
Yeah. Are you in Seattle or whereabouts are you?
I'm in Seattle, Washington. Yep.
Okay. All right. Is that where you're from?
No, I was born and raised in Colorado. I've also spent some time in California and Nashville, Tennessee, but I've been in Seattle for 22 years. So this is definitely home these days.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Wow. So born and raised in Colorado, you went to high school here, graduated high school, Colorado?
Yep. Yep. In Colorado Springs.
Oh, all right. Colorado Springs did you have a parent in the Air Force or something or?
No, not Air Force, but my dad did work for government contracted. Organizations.
Yeah. I see. All right. Where are your mom and dad now?
Dad is still in Colorado. Dad and stepmom are in Colorado, and my mom and stepdad are in Nashville, Tennessee.
That's why you have some Tennessee time.
I see.
Okay. Were you young when they got divorced, or are you already out of the house?
No, I was five. Mostly grew up with my dad, but then transferred to Tennessee during my high school years.
But you came back and graduated from Colorado Springs?
No. I graduated high school in Nashville.
Oh, you graduated high school in Nashville. Yeah. I see.
I moved when I was 15. Yeah.
So often when people are in that situation, kids are in that situation, around 13, 14, 15, they'll switch parents, whichever way, right?
Yeah.
Usually it's because they hit puberty and they start pushing back and they get in a fight with one parent and they think, oh, it's going to be better with this other parent. So I'm going to go.
It may have been some of that. I can neither confirm or deny that information.
It happens a lot. It was the same with me and my wife and I. When we got married, we both had kids from our first marriage. And so, you know, one of the kids would get mad at us and I'm going to go live with mom or I'm going to go live with dad. Okay. Well, good luck with that. Do you have siblings?
I do. I have two older siblings, 6 and 8 years older than me. One lives here in Seattle and one is in Colorado.
Okay. All right. Very, very good. What kind of kid were you? Were you like straight A's, library every day, or were you rebel? Were you in trouble?
A little bit of both, quite honestly. I graduated high school with a 4.0.
Oh,
and I was a rebel. So I actually skipped school a fair amount. And I don't know. I think I had the gift of just picking up information without even really having to study too much. Uh-huh. I think I kind of got a secret joy in being able to break the rules, but still be like an A+ player.
Well, you were the kid. You're the kid that everybody hated there, right? Because you're just like, okay, she didn't have to try hard. She gets straight A's and she's over here goofing off, skipping school. It's like, yeah, guys like me were like, look at her. Jeez, man. Because I studied really hard and I graduated with like, I don't know, 2.9. Mm-hmm. Your IQ must be pretty high, along with your EQ, obviously, based on what you do for a living. But your IQ must be pretty high, too.
Yeah, I've never tested my IQ. I've just never really had an interest in that. But
what's the worst trouble you ever got in high school or college?
What are we on this podcast to talk about here? I thought we were here to talk about development.
Well, how are they going to know whether or not to use you if they don't know who you are?
Oh, I had a lot of fun in high school and college as well. What's the worst trouble I ever got into?
Well, give us a good one. Go ahead and confess. It's okay.
Probably getting kicked out of a bar for
being underage.
I never got kicked out of a bar for that. But once I got kicked out of a concert because I was singing too loudly alongside the singer.
Pretty good. Can you sing?
I can sing. Yeah, I love to sing.
All right. Very good. So you had fun. So you're probably an average kid, but you not average as in grades. You did better in grades, but average as in having fun, sounds like.
Average in terms of having fun. Did all right with grades. It did take me a while to figure out what I actually wanted to do with my career, though. So even if you're good in school, it doesn't necessarily translate to, you know, having early success in life.
Isn't that true? Mm-hmm. You decided to go to the University of New Mexico. Where's that tie-in based on where you were living? How'd that happen?
Oh, well, I started college outside of Nashville, Tennessee.
Oh, I see.
And I always kind of knew that I was going to transfer. I just didn't know where, when, or for what, because I didn't really know what I wanted to do when I first started college. And then I started taking like architecture classes and photography classes. And I had this photography teacher that, you know, shared with me, oh, New Mexico, they've got wide open skies. It's a beautiful, glorious, the land of enchantment. And I had an aunt that lived in New Mexico. And so kind of on a whim, I just decided to move to New Mexico and finish out my schooling there.
How about, interesting. All right. Did you like it?
I did like it. Yeah. New Mexico's a wonderful place. It's kind of a strange place, but you know, it was a great place for the college years. Met a lot of friends, got a good education, decent education, and ultimately ended up moving to Seattle during that time frame because I met a guy and we started a long distance relationship. And then I decided to take some time off from school because I wasn't really quite sure what I wanted to do. And so I kind of temporarily moved to Seattle. Got my first professional job working at a startup organization. And that's probably one of the absolute best first job opportunities that I could have had because it gave me a ton of really, really great and wide and varied experience at a very young age. And I was able to use that to kind of parlay into different arenas in my career. And I actually had that job for a couple of years before I even finished college. So I was kind of like going back and forth between, I was like taking night classes at community colleges in Seattle to finish out my, you know, general requirements and whatnot. And then went back to New Mexico for like 6 months, just finished it out and then came back and continued working for that startup for a few more years.
Did you break up with the guy when you went back to New Mexico? Did you leave him in Seattle?
Not at that point in time, but when I came back to Seattle, we gave it a good go. We had a great relationship, but it wasn't meant to be long term. It was a nice, I think we were together for like 4 years.
Okay. Then
life happens, so we moved on.
And how about your social status now? Single, married? What's going on? Kids? What's the status?
Wow, again, I thought we were here to talk about career, but I'm newly single. I just,
divorced.
I have been married and divorced. I got divorced about 5 years ago and then, had like a 2.5 year relationship that just recently came to a close.
Children?
No children, but dogs? I have two kids. I have two cats.
Two cats. Okay.
Those are my babies.
You're a cat person. You're a cat person, not a dog person.
I'm a cat and a dog person, but cats are significantly easier to take care of. And I love to travel. So it's much easier to travel and be gone from the house. You know, I can go to networking events and various different things, and I don't have to worry about getting back to the house to be able to let the dogs out. So I've got two cats, two adorable kitties, Widget and Poppet. They're 3 years old and they're definitely my babies. Yeah.
Matt, you just described the life of an older person with the stuff you've been through. You look like you're 23, by the way.
Oh, well, thank you. not quite, but I'll take that. Thank you very much.
You must have got married when you were like 15. Seriously.
No, yeah. I actually got married when I was 30.
What?
Yeah.
But you just said you've been divorced for 5 years.
Correct.
You're not in your 40s, are you? No way.
I am in my 40s. Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay. No, seriously. Now I'm being serious. Before I was kind of joking around. Now I'm being serious. Like, holy cow. Okay. Yeah. I don't know what face cream you're using, but you look super young. Just so you know. Well,
thank you for the compliment. I will definitely take it. I appreciate that.
Wow. All right. Very good. Well, thank you for sharing. One more thing on who you are as a person before we get into career. Hobbies, like what does Sonia do besides travel and work? Are you what's your thing, right?
I would say I have several things actually, but
all right.
You know, I live in Seattle. I love to travel. That's probably the biggest hobby. And outside of that, I mean, I love to go on bike rides. I love kayaking, paddle boarding. I love playing geeky strategy board games.
So what? Now there's a curveball. Well, actually, I don't know. That ties in with the 4.0 a little bit. Okay, I get it. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So I love game nights.
Are you in like a club? Are you in like a group or something?
No, not necessarily. Just friends. Oh. Friends and family, you know, go over to people's houses and hang out or host a game night from time to time myself. And I love hiking, you know, like Seattle is like, I don't know. I think it comes with the territory of living here. Like you kind of have to be outdoorsy. Of course, I grew up in Colorado too. So I got the outdoor gene.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. You said travel several times. Are we talking, you know, international? What are we talking? What's your favorite place you've been to?
Yeah. International, national, you know, even just weekend getaways are really fun. But nationally or internationally, been all over Europe.
Have you?
Europe is wonderful, beautiful, amazing. Been to India. Would like to make it to South America. I'd like to make it to Indonesia. Yeah. There's Australia, New Zealand. There's so many places on my list. Most of my travels have been to Europe. West and East.
You speak any other languages?
Little bit of Spanish.
Ooh, all right. Yeah. All right. Very good. Okay. So you get out of college and you're like, okay, what am I going to do now? You worked for the startup though, so that gave you a little bit of a taste.
Correct.
What was your functionality at the startup? What'd they have you doing? And then walk us into your career a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. So I started, this was first job. I hadn't even finished college yet. So first job, I mean, I was basically hired as a glorified admin. Okay. But I've always been pretty savvy with learning new tools, new skills. And so each and every time that I saw a need for something in the startup, you know, I would talk to the founder and say, hey, I think we could be doing this better, more efficiently. I think we could get better results in this way. Like, do you mind if I take a stab at it? Can I try my hand at this? Which of course he was super grateful for, because he was barely paying me anything to begin with. And if I, you know, took on greater responsibility, he was just getting more out of that. So I would say I mostly kind of transitioned into being a product manager and like a usability engineer. And that's really what, beyond the startup, once I gained a bunch of skills. I mean, I was also doing things like bookkeeping and I was doing it all. So, but I really kind of gravitated towards product management and helping to, come up with new feature sets for the product that we were developing. And then I would test it and I would find, you know, people who were like representative of our user group to test prototypes. test the final product, like make sure that things were working, work with the developers to ensure there was no bugs, you know, like fix the product, make it ready for prime time, get it ready to deploy to the market. But I really started to take an interest in usability. And so beyond the startup, that's what I ended up moving into next, was, you know, I actually got a job as a usability engineer and was designing studies for Fortune 500 companies, helping them know how to, you know, different things. Like we would test a checkout process, like an online checkout process. And we bring in representatives, put the eye tracking glasses on. We could see where their eyes were moving across the screen. We would record the session. We would give them tasks, ask them to complete specific tasks, ask them questions about their experience. And then, you know, I would collate all of the data and provide recommendations to, you know, product managers, marketing team, whoever the key stakeholders were, on ways to help optimize the user experience and help make the entire buying process more efficient or the upgrade process more efficient or whatever the task was. You know, how do we make this thing better for end users, so that the end users and the company are both, you know, achieving their goals more effectively.
All right. Sounds like you're moving along in your career. You're learning things and so forth. How does the entrepreneurial gene come up? Where you're on the helmet? I'm gonna switch into career and leadership coaching. How'd that happen?
You know, I think I've always been an intrapreneur or an entrepreneur. I've always been, you know, looking for opportunities to do something new and different or to make things better. And I actually, along the way, I ended up going back to school and got a master's degree in leadership and organization development. It was a master's in applied behavioral science. And during that time, I really developed this interest in coaching and consulting. And a lot of that came from working at that startup company, because when I started with that very small organization, I was employee number two with the startup. And then, you know, we ended up growing it to 25, 30 people before, you know, my time there was done. And I saw how each and every time that we hired a new person, when you have a really small team like that, you add a new person, it has the ability to like dramatically impact the team dynamics and the overall organizational culture. So I started getting really interested in culture, leadership. You know, we were starting to introduce layers of leadership into the startup organization. So I was starting to see like, okay, how does, when you start to add in this management level, you know, how does that impact team dynamics? How does that impact the culture? So that's what led me to go back and get a master's degree. And then, you know, I'll kind of shorten the time frame because there are a lot of steps in between there. But I ended up, kind of reinventing my career every 3 to 5 years. I would just do something completely different. So to make a long story short, you know, pretty much every 3 to 5 years, I was making pretty dramatic shifts in my career, you know, either doing something completely different or getting promoted into a leadership position. And, you know, I did a wide variety of different things, including business development, marketing. I eventually ended up getting into change management consulting. So I was working with large organizations, helping them roll out large scale change initiatives, working with executives, helping them prepare their messaging and knowing how to like facilitate the people side of change. So I've always had this interest in people and transformation, and, you know, career coaching actually kind of found me because, you know, I've been pretty successful at changing directions in my career multiple times. And what I learned was really, you know, it's more about the positioning of who you are as a professional. So if you want to do something different or you want to get promoted, you know, are you seen in the right light? Do people see you as being eligible and qualified for the role that you're going after? And so, you know, and I have done a lot of marketing and a lot of messaging and things like that. And so, and sales. And so, you know, really when we start to look at career development and career change and being a career coach, oftentimes what I'm doing when I'm working with individuals is helping them identify first and foremost, like, who are you as a person and what do you want to be doing in your career? What's the highest and best career for you to be focused on from a range of decision-making criteria, right? So we get into the decision-making criteria to see what's really truly important to that individual and where are they going? Where are they headed in their career? And what's the highest and best opportunities for them?
Did you, but I want to make sure I understand, did you start kind of just doing this naturally with people you knew while you were in other jobs and then had a moment where you're like, wait a minute, I'm giving away a lot of free advice here. Maybe I could turn this into a business.
Yes. Yes. And yes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. I mean, I had been pretty successful at changing directions in my own career. And so first I had friends and family who were coming to me and saying like, hey, wait a second. Like, how did you switch from doing, you know, business development to change management consulting?
I see.
And wait a second, you're making a whole lot more money now. Like, how exactly does that work?
I see. Okay.
And so for first, it was just kind of for fun as a hobby on the side. And
is that why the years of the overlap, or I could see where you had a regular job, but you had already started the side hustle?
Yes.
Because I see the overlap on the years where your LinkedIn profile.
Yeah. Yep. I see. Yep. There is totally overlap. And yeah, so I just was helping people and then I started getting referrals and referrals from referrals. And cool. Yeah, at a certain point in time, I was like, hey, wait a second. I think this is a business here. Like, you know, I mean, I'm happy to help people, I love helping people. And then I came to kind of a crossroads in my career. I was between clients with my consulting gig that I had, and I decided I wanted to take a leave of absence to work on writing a book, which I did. And during that time frame, I was, you know, working on writing my first book, and I think the stars were just aligned in the right way, because I started getting even more clients, and, you know, like more people were coming to me and asking me for help. And so, you know, I just had this epiphany that that's really the work that I love the most. Is I really enjoy working one-on-one with people and helping them, you know, undergo this transformation in their career and seeing how that can impact their identity and who they are in the world and the money that they make and what's possible for them and the kind of lifestyle that they want to live. And so I took a leap of faith and just said, all right, let's go all in and have this be the business. And I've now been doing this full-time for over 8 years now.
Full-time for over 8 years, dynamocareers.com, right? Dynamocareers.com.
Dynamocareers.com. Yep.
And if you go there, you can learn all about Sonia and the books. Are the books, all the books are listed there, aren't they?
Yes.
On the website. Correct. Okay.
Yes.
And are they for sale on Amazon and where else?
They are for sale on Amazon.
Just Amazon. Okay. Can you list the book? Can you tell the audience about the books real quick? The titles of the books and just give a brief. Yeah, go for it.
The first book is called The Pivot Point System, and it's really about how to have, you know, greater meaning and more impact in your career, health, and wealth. And then the second book is called The Infinite Leader, and that's really about how to have greater influence and expanding your impact through having, you know, being more in tune with yourself and how to really have that self-actualization in life, to be the kind of leader who you want and need to be to make the impact that you desire to make during your time on this planet.
Okay. So there's two books. Are they paperback? Are they Kindle? And are there audio versions?
There is a paperback and Kindle versions.
No audio. Are you going to do audio?
No audio, but you know, I've never had any, like, sure. Maybe I should work on getting the audio version created.
Well,
and I'm actually working on a second iteration of The Infinite Leader. I just feel like I have some new content to add to it. So I will be hopefully launching the second version, maybe like January timeframe of next year.
Okay. Very good. Reason I always ask about the audio because when I'm on the treadmill or I'm on a hike, I like to, you know, I like to listen to books. You can knock out more books that way, you know?
Absolutely. Yep.
I think.
For sure. I do the same thing. Mm.
And I think you should do it in your own voice. I wouldn't hire anybody. Now, some publishers won't let you do it in your own voice. I don't know. I'm not an expert on the topic. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you like writing? Do you enjoy that? Okay.
I do. Yeah, I really do. I enjoy writing.
Did you use the ghostwriter at all, or did you do it all yourself?
I've done it all myself. I have done it all myself. Yeah.
Self-published.
Self-published. Yes.
Okay. Very good. All right. Yeah. How are the ratings on Amazon? Super awesome.
I think they're all right. Yeah.
Okay. Very good. They can look you up on
Amazon. But if you're listening to this, go check it out and leave me a rating, please.
Please do. Thank you for telling us about the books. Do you have a podcast at all?
I do not have a podcast. I thought about starting one on my own. You can tell me your experience of running a podcast, but I feel like I have enough things on my plate, and I really enjoy going on other people's podcasts. It's really fun being a guest and getting connected with lots of different hosts. I feel like it's a great networking opportunity, and I love being on podcasts. I love doing it. And I appreciate when folks like you can do the production work.
it's a lot more time than people realize. You know, I'll meet people and they'll call me and say, I'm going to start my own podcast. And I always tell them, I'm like, okay, well, good luck. Call me in 6 months. Let me know how it's working out for you.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot of time and effort that people really just don't fully understand until they try it. But very good. So tell us, I've had so many people on the podcast. I don't even know how many guests. We've had over 400 guests.
Wow.
I think at least 50 of them have been some sort of life coach, career coach, professional coach, executive coach. I don't know, whatever, you know, somewhere mm-hmm. in that bucket. I've had a bunch mm-hmm. on. Tell us, you know, for the listeners, why Sonia? Why Dynamo Careers? Talk to me. What is the secret sauce?
Sure. Yeah. Well, at Dynamo Careers, you know, our primary objective is to help clients find work that they love, you know, something that's really truly meaningful and inspirational to them, that is a good match for their skill set and also pays them what they're worth. So that's kind of the trifecta of what we like to focus on. We're always looking at the sweet spot between those three things. And, you know, we need to have all three of those things, because if you don't have work that you love, well, then your career is just a drag, and that, you know, bleeds into the rest of your life. If you're not making enough money, then you can't have the lifestyle that you want to have. And I would say a really huge, secret that Dynamo Careers can offer our clients is we definitely help clients make pretty significant jumps in their income. And how we're able to do that is to help people really create a very rock solid career roadmap. And so what we're doing is we sit down and we look at what are the available opportunities, you know, like, who are you? What do you want? What would you find meaningful? But then what are the available opportunities in the marketplace that match that? And what are the pay ranges associated with each of those things? And then we go through, a very specific guided decision-making process to help people have a very targeted focus in their job search. And then we put all of the branding materials together to match and align with that. And I think a lot of candidates, you know, tend to jump from job to job to job, but most often they're just kind of doing the same thing that they did before. It's just different team, different organization, maybe different pay. But we help people make significant leaps in their career, whether that's in terms of income, compensation, or leadership potential, or maybe it's, you know, shifting to a key area of focus that makes them a more desirable candidate or more higher in demand. So we look at things through an incredibly strategic lens, help people identify what truly is the right fit for them, where they can make those jumps in their income and their leadership, if that's important to them. And then we put all of the pieces in place to help make that happen. So all the branding and positioning with resume and LinkedIn profile, cover letters, networking letters. We talk about having a very targeted job search. So you get a much higher yield rate with the activities that you are doing. Interview preparation, and then we support all the way through salary negotiation, as well as, you know, support in the new job to ensure that they hit the ground running and really make a very strong reputation for themselves from day one, so that they're continuing forward with that overall career trajectory, like the career strategy that we predefined earlier, to help them, you know, hit the ground running and with the intention of getting promoted sooner rather than later. So it's okay. Very incredibly strategic.
Okay. What talk to me about the packages, the fees, the timing. Is this what are the cost ranges and what's the timeline of the relationship?
You know, our goal is to always help clients land a new role within 6 months or less. Sometimes it happens significantly faster. Sometimes it can take a little bit longer, and it really just depends upon the client and their specific goals. Sometimes leadership positions can take longer just simply because there's less opportunities out there. And most organizations who are hiring a very senior level role, sometimes it just, you know, the stars have to align in the perfect right way to find the right candidate with the right background and skill set. But our goal, our major goal is to help people land a job within 6 months or less. We've helped people get a new job as quickly as 1 month. And most of that was us, you know, doing all that strategic work and branding work and all the things that we just talked about. You know, sometimes I think the sweet spot is kind of like, you know, 3 to 4 or 5 months time frame. Okay. And our packages range between $5,000 and $20,000 and includes a variety of services. You know, our higher end packages actually include a done for you job search service. So, you know, it is a pretty VIP treatment. It's all, you know, every package is all one-on-one coaching. We really work with clients and customize everything specifically to them. And then, you know, if desired, we can actually do the job search for you. So you don't have to be out there doing that hard manual labor of applying to, you know, tons and tons and tons of jobs. And, you know, we have a very customized approach to help with networking and, you know, all the key things that can really make a huge difference.
Do you have relationships with recruiters like RyderFlex, like myself, where you call a recruiter and you say, hey, I got this girl, Mary. She's awesome. She's a client of mine.
We certainly do.
Okay. Very good. Do I pay the same amount whether you help me find something in 1 month versus 5 months?
Yes. Yeah. We're results based. So we're here to help people accomplish the results that they desire. We actually offer 100% ROI guarantee. So whatever amount that people invest in working with us, you know, our promise is that we will work with them until they make that much more in their next new opportunity. So if it takes 1 month or 2 months, great. Hey, we accomplished the goal. If it takes 6 months, awesome. If it ends up taking 9 months, we're still going to work with people because that's who we are. We make sure that we fulfill on the commitment of what people hired us to do.
Interesting. Have you ever had to fire a client because you're in 12th month and you're like, hey, John, you're not trying, bro. Like you got to go. Has that happened?
I have never fired a client. No. I have had people that did not engage with the full value of what we had to offer. So maybe they just didn't utilize all their coaching sessions or they didn't take the actions to help produce the result. But, you know, we generally stay very connected with our clients. And like the reason we do this, we want to create results. We want to help people make the impact that they want to make in their career. So, you know, it's a very customized approach. And you know, if you hire us, you can count on us to do our part to deliver what you came for.
What's your target candidate? Are they early in their career, mid-level career, senior level career? Where are they in their career timeline?
Yeah, we generally work with mid to senior level career professionals.
Is that because the early career people can't afford the service?
Not necessarily. I've worked with some wonderful early career folks that have either paid for it for themselves or their parents have, you know, family member has stepped in to help pay for it. Okay. No, I'm happy to work with people at any stage in their career. I do find it can be a little bit easier when someone already has some work success to draw from, right. You know, and they kind of already understand the rules of the game and how it works. But I'm happy to work with people, you know, early, mid or late stage career. just generally the folks who come to work with us are more the, you know, mid-level, mid to senior level career professionals, and mostly in tech. We typically end up working with people in the tech industry, tech or like ancillary tech industries like biotech or.
Is that just where it's headed, or you're targeting that?
Well, you know, I live in Seattle. This is where I got my start. So I think it's just kind of the nature of the environment of where I am. I work with clients all over the US. So, you know, it's not location dependent, but through my work, I have just learned a lot about how tech companies hire. And I would say that that's probably also a secret sauce for Dynamo Careers, is that it's like, you know, if you know how to get hired at Amazon or Google, you can probably get hired at any organization, because their hiring practices are incredibly stringent, and you kind of have to know the rules of the game and how to answer specific questions to, you know, continue forward in the process. Mm. So, I just learned a lot about the tech industry, and I tend to vibe really well with tech clients. So that just seems to be the sweet spot for me.
Do you see the greatest area of improvement on a regular basis more in their content as it relates to resume and LinkedIn, or more in their ability to interview properly?
Do I see?
Which one? Yeah. Which one do you see a stronger weakness in? Or maybe a third option would be they don't know how to target the search properly.
You know, like every client is a little bit different. What I find is one of the biggest challenges with most professionals is most people do not have a strategic plan for their career. Agreed. And they just think, oh, I'll just do the same thing I did before. Mm-hmm. But they're already bored and frustrated, and they're not recognizing that. And they just think, oh, if I change organizations, then it'll be different. And maybe it will be different, but you know, I've just always been of the mindset of like, if you're going to make a change anyways, you might as well level up in the process. But I think most people don't, you know, understand how to level up, or, you know, what needs to happen as part of that process. And you can level up within your existing organization if you know how to do it correctly, or moving on to a new organization, but you really have to know what you're doing. You have to be very strategic in your approach, and, you know, and that kind of goes all the way from start to finish, you know, from the first initial strategy. You know, the funny thing is that most of us work for organizations where we do annual and quarterly planning, monthly planning, weekly planning. But then how often do each of us do that for our own career?
Good one. Yeah, no doubt about it. What happens when your website and your whole message speaks of, I'm going to help you find happiness, and that happiness is also usually going to relate in a job that pays you more money. What happens when the guide to happiness, the path to this happiness, means they'll be doing something that pays less, and you're not able to meet that promise of, hey, I'm going to get you a higher paying job? Maybe they're a software engineer for Google, and their goal is to be a park ranger. and it's going to pay like a half. What do? You do you just like, hey, what do you do in that situation?
Yeah. Well, we always have a conversation about it, because, you know, sometimes people are just really burnt out in their career, and, you know, maybe that's the best thing for them to, you know, take that pivot and go in a different direction. But, you know, we will have a very strategic conversation about that to say, you know, is this actually the right thing for you? Or are there other alternatives that maybe you could consider so that you can, you know, overcome the burnout that you're currently experiencing? Or maybe if you were working for a different organization, perhaps it wouldn't be such a, you know, taxing type of situation. Maybe it's time to take a leave of absence for a while. You know, there are other possibilities to explore and consider. You know, if a client comes to me and they say they want to make more money, we're going to focus on opportunities that will make them more money, because that is part of our guarantee. But if they come to me and they're looking for overall support and guidance, and they want to work with a coach to help them find the best career for them, not everybody is motivated by money. So if they choose to go in a different direction that they may not be able to make as much money, then that's a personal choice. And we, you know, we have that conversation and discussion, and you know, that may mean that we don't evoke the guarantee, but they still get a ton of value out of the entire process of working with us. And, you know, it's always up to them whether they want to make more money or not. The decision is in the client's hands, and then we help fulfill on whatever the stated goal and objective is.
Okay. Do you have a team of people you're working with, or is this a solo entrepreneurial situation?
I do. I have a small team of folks. So I have a couple of people that help me with marketing, you know, just for lead generation and whatnot. And then I have one career coach on staff, and she and I both work hand in hand with all of our clients. So I tend to focus more on the upfront strategy and the negotiation pieces and kind of like overseeing the entire process. And then she helps with the branding, the core branding pieces. So she's an excellent resume writer. She does all the LinkedIn work. She can help support with interview coaching and whatnot. But we stay in lockstep with each other. So we're always like, you know, very aware of what's happening with each and every client. And you know, clients are welcome to work with either of us at any point in time in the process.
Okay, very good. All right. I want to ask you some questions about what your candidates are facing. You sound like you deal with, you know, mid to senior level people a lot. And when I think senior, I'm thinking 50 years old and plus sometimes, 50 plus. Mm-hmm. I get, as a recruiting firm, as the CEO of a recruiting firm, I get a lot of 50 plus year old former executives looking for work right now. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, they're stressed, and they're in this moment in their life where they used to have a lot of responsibility. They used to be an executive, and they think they have to stay there, but they can't get an interview because they're 56 and everybody thinks they're over the hill. How do you deal with clients that are facing ageism, as it relates to discriminating, you know, companies discriminating against them, because it does happen.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I see it all the time. How do you help those folks? Tell them? What do you do to help them work around that if they're getting blocked because of their age?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, one of the very first things is, you know, working on resume and LinkedIn to kind of remove any initial pieces of information that will immediately let someone do math in their head, mm-hmm, and say, you know, oh, this candidate is probably about this old. Mm-hmm. Therefore, maybe we're not interested. So
does that include telling them to take their picture down?
Yes, absolutely. Well, you know, there's a, like on LinkedIn, you have to have a picture. So, you know, yeah, you don't want to not have a picture, because some people will actually not pull up profiles that don't have a picture.
Couldn't agree more. Let's take a breath right there for everybody listening to this particular episode. I have said that particular tip of advice so many times on the Writerflex podcast. If you're listening right now, I don't care what your excuse is. I don't care what your fantasy strategy is. If you do not have a photo, you are being overlooked. People are going to think you're weird, or you're hiding something, or you're fake, or whatever. Put up a damn photo. If you're listening to this episode, put up a photo. A good one.
They're just going to see it as an incomplete profile. Like they're not, not going to look any further, because they're going to say, oh, this person, yeah, this is an incomplete profile. They probably haven't even filled in the details of their employment. So,
anyway, I got off track. So back to the ageism thing. So, okay. So don't put the year they graduated college.
Don't put the year you graduated college. Focus on recent relevant experience, you know, and don't feature more than like 12 years of experience on your resume. Okay. If you have a previous work experience like prior to that, that you think is relevant for the job that you're going after, you can still have like an other relevant work experience section on your resume, but don't go into detail on it. Just need like list your title, the company you work for, and don't put any dates.
Yeah, very good. Very good.
So, and your most recent relevant experience should be completely in alignment for the jobs that you're applying for. If it's not, you need to learn how to feature it accordingly, because if they're hiring a, you know, VP of technology, they want to work with somebody who's already been a VP of technology. That's just how the game works. So, you know, there's lots of things that you can do for your resume and your LinkedIn profile, because when you think of the overall job search process, it's a marketing and sales game. So you want to be thinking of, you know, what does that pipeline look like? Well, you know, you need to get lots more opportunities at the top of the pipeline. And then as you start to narrow down, then, you know, but you have to get through that first phase of the pipeline. So your resume and your LinkedIn profile have to be able to beat out the search algorithms, whether that's on LinkedIn or through the ATS systems that your resume first goes through. So there's lots of things to be aware of what to include on your resume and your LinkedIn profile. The more times that you beat out that process in the beginning, the more interviews that you're going to go on.
Good advice. Good advice. What do you tell people with regards to their social media profiles, and specifically to that point regarding the content that they put up there, whether it's some sort of political rant, sexual preference rant, racial rant, whatever, any of these hot button topics? What do you tell your candidate? What do you tell them?
Keep it clean, keep it conservative. If you're going to go work for a political organization and they want somebody like that, great. If they don't, then, you know, be aware of what your profile says about you. And I could even say things like, you know, and this is going to get real controversial here for a second, but, you know, there's certain things that's like, you know, be aware of what your profile says about you. So if you, maybe I shouldn't even go into this, but, you know, it's like, there's a lot of gender fluidity these days. And, you know, there are people who prefer to be referred to as they or them, and I think that's great. I'm in full support of that, but be aware of the fact that some people are going to be very judgmental about that at the very, very beginning of the process. And if you're okay being looked over because they don't agree with that, fine, cool. Put it on there. Great. If that's who you are and that's like the most important thing about you, put it on there. But if you don't want to be turned down because people don't agree with your personal perspective in this world, I would just leave it off until you get hired. Then once you're hired, come out and share your full self, you know, and then you can ask them to call you by your preferred pronoun. And because companies are now being more diverse and inclusive, then hopefully they comply with that. But you have to think about, you know, what's most important to you. Are you trying to get a job? Go for the job. Don't hang your hat on, you know, your personal mission in life to educate everybody about how they should refer to people in this world.
You know, I don't know how many times I've had this conversation. I basically tell people the same thing. I'll see whether they're bashing the current administration or the previous administration or whatever, right? You know, whatever. There seems like there's a new hot button in the country every week. I can't even keep up with them. But, you know, I'll see people take sides. And that's what I'm always saying. Look, every one of these hot topics that hit the media, the planet is split. I don't know if it's always 50-50, but it damn sure seems that way. I don't care what we're arguing about for the current week, whatever the topic is.
Yeah.
There's 50% of the people over here. So I always tell them, look, here's the deal, man. No matter what side you pick on this hot topic, you're going to piss off 50% of the people looking at your profile.
That's very true.
And so if you don't mind doing that, if you don't mind cutting your audience in half or possibly alienating half your audience, okay, fine, go ahead. But I'm just telling you, that's there's a chance that's going to happen. Whatever you're ranting about,
right?
So
I am not a conservative person. You know, like we're not going to get into my political views and whatnot. I'm not a conservative person, but when in the job search,
that's exactly right. It's what I tell them. Same thing. And then I'll tell them, I'm like, and then after you get hired, do whatever you want.
Yeah, right.
And by the way, you can do whatever you want, no matter what. Just know you're going to limit your audience. That's
exactly
the key. And that's the real that's the real career advice we're talking about here. We're not, I'm not telling them they can't. Hey, go for it if you want to. Just know you're going to limit your audience. Exactly. Period.
Right.
Period. Period.
In the same way, you know, like, and I hope I don't get people like haters on me because I said don't put they and them on your resume and whatnot. But I mean, if you do take issue with that, talk to me because I'm completely accepting of all. But in the same way, you know, I wouldn't put on your resume, you know, I wouldn't put interest, you know, card carrying member of the NRA.
Right. You just wouldn't. Yep.
All right. Oh, you're going to piss people off on that too. You know,
every topic,
same thing. So
every topic, every topic, whether it's Republican, left, right, whatever, we're not talking about the political sides. We're talking about the fact that everybody, it's 50%, 50% of the country is going to disagree on, I don't care what the topic is.
Yeah.
So keep it off there. Next question. I know we're almost out of time, but I got two more I want to hit you with.
Okay.
Work ethic lately, especially from, is it just me, Sonia, or I'm always picking on millennials and Gen Z. And then I get, speaking of hate mail, I'll get millennials, but why are you always picking on millennials? And they think I'm a curmudgeon or whatever. Is it just because I'm 56 years old, or are people lazier than they used to be? Is it just me? Talk to me. The younger generation, 20s and 30s. It's like, I don't feel like everybody, I don't feel like they want to work as much as we did when we were younger. Is that just me? Talk to me.
Well, yeah, I have a lot that I could say about this. I think it's more of a cultural and societal thing. There's an old saying, let me see if I can, hopefully I get this right. Hard times create hard men. Have you heard this before? Hard men create easy times. Easy times create easy people. We could just say people, right?
Yeah.
Easy people create hard times. So,
and right there, it seems like that's where we're at in the cycle. The last one, it seems like where we're at.
I think that's where we're at, you know. And so, generational, when we look generationally, it's like, you know, there were easy times in the past, which created a generation of easy moving people. And now here we are, and we went through a pandemic, and now we're experiencing economic hardships. I think we're getting into creating hard. Now we're going to have hard times. So will we see a bounce back where now we're going to have, you know, harder working people? Maybe. Right.
Maybe.
There's also this, you know, maybe you've heard this as well, that it's like, I think it's millennials or maybe Gen Zers, that they're the first generation that is not expected to have done better than their parents. Where every generation leading up to that, there's always been this expectation that generation will outperform, you know, and have greater success than their parents. And I think we've seen that over and over and over again. Now we have these younger generations that are staying at home longer. And, you know, they may just not have the makeup that it's going to be easy for them to like get ahead in life. And so if it's not easy to get ahead in life, then does there become this mindset that goes along with it? My parents probably did better than I'm ever going to do anyways, and they're willing to support me. So,
that's part of the problem too, by the way. That's part of the problem too. We're enabling some of the situations, and I have friends. I'm like, why are you letting your 30-year-old live at home and not pay any rent? Like, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Yeah.
Okay. And I got two more questions. We might go over just five
minutes.
This is great.
Let's keep going.
Okay. I got a couple more questions. Did you listen to the Mark Andreessen interview on Joe Rogan at all? The guy who founded LinkedIn. Did you hear that one?
Oh, I did not, but maybe I should go check it out.
It's good. The reason I'm bringing that up is because, and I'm seeing this in the recruiting industry, he basically said something to the effect of, they were talking about the advancement of AI and tech and robots and the future of the workforce.
Mm-hmm.
And Mark was saying, he's like, isn't it interesting how 10, 15 years ago, the mindset was that the physical robots were going to advance first and maybe take some blue collar jobs. But now that has flipped. And now the AI and the tech are taking more white collar jobs and laptop jobs, and the blue collar jobs are actually in longer protection. You know, and then he went on to say, you know, the construction workers, the welders, the plumbers, the electricians, the, you know, all the labor workers, the skilled trades. He was saying how those are going to be the valued people because there's fewer of them. So many of the old guys are and girls are retiring, and nobody can do those trades. And now with the advancement of AI and tech, you got all these 35-year-old software engineers, and all of a sudden, you know, they can't find work. By the way, software engineer job postings are down 60% compared to last year.
Wow.
And so he's just talking about how if there's going to be people in trouble, it could be people with jobs pounding on laptops. And meanwhile, as that interview happened, my road where I live is totally being redone. So right outside my house, I'm watching these construction workers work for the last few months, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm always telling my wife, I'm like, you see those guys out there? They're protected. Those guys are in great shape.
That's the future right there.
Yeah. That's what we're like. Why didn't, yeah. So, and I'm telling my sons that I have two sons in their late 20s and early 30s. And I'm telling them, like, I think trade skills is probably a safe route from what I can tell. But anyway, what are your thoughts on that topic?
Yeah, I think we're going to see an incredible revolution of the workforce happening. It's already happening. And, you know, I think for, you know, candidates, like the time to have the most up-to-date, high-in-demand skills is more important now than ever. So if you're not working with AI, learn how to use AI and make it be a core component of who you are and what you do in your career. And think about like what are going to be the most in-demand jobs and how do you stay in demand? And I think things will change, like, you know, software developer positions, you know, the glory of those days, I think, is coming to a close.
It is.
Especially for new, younger software developers, I think it's a really hard time because AI can do what a junior developer can do in seconds. That takes hours and days and weeks. Yeah. The more senior level positions are still in demand because we need people that can patch code work together and, you know, test and make sure that's all working. And we need strategic people to come up with new ideas that can then know how to use AI to build the next iterations. But I think, you know, it will be time to start to look at, okay, what are the most in-demand jobs and how do I apply strategy and have, you know, leadership skills and how do I have the things that AI cannot do?
Yes.
Or if it's time to like shift directions completely in your career,
maybe
what else would be a good fit? You know, healthcare is in like, we need more nurses now than ever, nurses There's and doctors one. And, yep. and health tech aides and things like that, you know, or, if you can swing a hammer, great. If you enjoy that work, great. Yeah. I think income will probably be increasing in those fields. We'll see how things start to pan out. I think that it really truly is time to be thinking about things strategically and to do that consistently because the world is changing dramatically at quicker pace than ever before. And it just keeps getting faster and faster and faster and faster and faster. And it can be quite exhausting as well. So,
no doubt. You know, isn't that so true? Every morning I wake up, I'm like, okay, now here's a new AI app that I have to, I got to learn this.
Right.
I got to learn this new thing. And then I saw an article where the general AI, where I you know how we have all these ChatGPT, Midjourney, this, all these different things. Where you're trying to learn all these different apps and you're paying all these little prices for all these 10 things. And you're like, okay. But your brain power, you only have so many minutes in the day and your friend sends you another thing. Hey, well, check out this new thing. I'm like, man, I got 10 I'm trying to learn now.
I know.
But I do think I read this great article where general AI is moving fast towards a personal assistant chatbot so that so that I have Angie, whatever I decide to call her, or whatever, Johnny. I got Johnny's my general AI chatbot, and Johnny has the knowledge to reach out to all those other things and just get me my answers from one source instead of having. I think it's headed that way. I think it's headed that way. You know, now we're going down a rabbit hole on tech stuff. But the point of the conversation was, you said it well. If you're listening to this episode, just make strategic decisions, not solely based on the advancement of tech and AI, but it's got to be in the mix of your thought process to make wise decisions for the future, so that you're not making a move that's going to put you out of work in 3 years. Like you need, you really need to be thinking about what's still going to be there down the road, especially if you're in your 30s, you know? Because it's, you don't want to waste your time on things. I remember as a recruiting firm, that's what we do for a living, is place candidates. 2-3 years ago, we'd be on these calls with my recruiting team, and all these software engineers, all my software engineers are going to be pissed off for me bringing this up, but they were they're so cocky, right? There was such high demand. No, they blow off the recruiter. They're mean to the recruiters. They demand these certain salaries. They act like they're gods or whatever. I remember being on calls telling my team, I'm like, one of these days, that time's going to be over. And guess what? Here we are. Here we are. last thing. Do you worry? It's kind of tied in with it, but do you worry ChatGPT is going to replace what you're doing with resumes and LinkedIn profiles? How do you process that in your brain when you're thinking about what you do for a living?
You know, I see tools like ChatGPT to be a wonderful addition to the process. You know, I'm like, it could be a threat. It totally could be a threat. Like, I'm looking at my career, my business as well. And how do we change what we do to, you know, partner with AI tools? Okay. So, you know, we may end up changing the model of our packages and how we support clients, to, you know, maybe we leverage that more and, Maybe that means we charge less for our services. Maybe that means that we show people how to do it on their own. And, you know, it's more of a do-it-yourself type process. Maybe people learn it to do it on their own, and maybe they don't even need a career coach anymore. But I think a lot of the reasons that people come to me initially is because they don't know what they want to do next. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, if people know how to write a resume, if they know what they want to do and they know how to write a resume, they probably don't need a career coach to begin with. But if you don't know what you want to do, and maybe it's been, you know, some time since you've gone on your last interview and you're like, I don't even know what to talk about. you know, that's when you engage with a career coach, as someone who can help you identify what you want to be doing and help you make the best decisions so that you're not wasting time and effort with your precious career, the precious time that you have in your career. And then, you know, I think ChatGPT and other AI tools can be a helpful addition to the process. But if you don't know where you're going, you can't use those tools to help you get there.
There you go.
And then if you don't, you know, and if you don't know how to sell yourself, you know, can ChatGPT do that for you? No, still have to show up to the interview. You still have to be the one to say the words out of your mouth. You're still the one that has to show up and speak competently and confidently and like really own it and sell who you are.
Oh, so, that's good stuff. Good stuff.
You know, those are the reasons that you hire and engage with a coach.
DynamoCareers.com. By the way, my final tip for anybody listening regarding what you do for a living, don't just take the job because you've decided I have to make 200 grand a year because I have this car payment, I have this house payment, I have this. So I got all these bills. And I see people do this all the time. They know what their spend rate is. And so then they've decided, well, I got to make this.
And then they'll
take the job because it pays to match their current lifestyle. And they won't even consider, am I going to like this? Am I passionate about this? Do I love this work? Do I like the company culture? Do I like the people? Blah, blah, blah. Right? They're just like, oh, okay, God, I got the $200,000 job. It's going to cover my expenses. Oh, I'm good. They just end up miserable. I hate it when people make those decisions. So I'd rather you, I'd rather you go down to 150 a year, get rid of the expensive car, buy an old truck, and be happy. That's what I'd rather do.
True, true. Yeah.
Sonia, thank you so much for sharing your story on the RiderFlex podcast. Everybody can reach out to Sonia Price on LinkedIn as well. She's got a huge following there. By the way, what do you got? 15,000 or something, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, connect with her on LinkedIn and go to her website, dynamocareers.com. Thanks, Sonia. Appreciate it.
Wonderful. Thank you, Steve. It's been so great being on the show with you here today.